Okay. Okay, let's pray, and then we'll jump right into this. Father Yah, we bless you as always, and we just honor you for being the God in our lives. We know that you are the one true God, the only God, and we're just counted as a privilege to be able to serve you, and we just glorify you for all that you do. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. In dealing with this kingdom economics, there are some things that Yah is preparing us to do, and each one of you that are present as well as hearing through some form of media, and even those who will hear this in the in the future. It is vitally important for you to understand your reason, the reason why Yah has you here. Each one of you has a gift that is valuable to Yah. He just ain't gonna do right today. You know he's gonna crash and burn. That is valuable to Yah, and you need to come to that realization. And I'm gonna kind of tease Elder as I say this part. You need to come to that realization and accept your role. You know, that's what he used to tease me all about. He said, "Man, you just need to come to the realization, just accept what you are, and just quit trying to, you know." Say it from the perspective of like there's somebody else who got to do it. Just accept what you are, and it is what it is, and you know. And so, you know. And he said this to me quite a few times. And so, you know, one time, you know, he said, and it just finally hit home. And I was like, okay, you know, just shut up and leave me alone. You know. But what I realized is that the only way that you know, me being, you know, your shepherd, the only way that you can fully step into your role is I had to first of all accept mine and walk in it in its fullest. And you know, and since that, you know, are things that are taking place, you know, from that perspective, and I just want to encourage you to, you know, just to continue to do that, to understand that each one of you are vitally important to what Yah is doing. You know, even my grandson who's in everything right now, he's vitally important. You know, he's here, and you know, all of you have a role to play. You know, none of us are here by mistake. All the things that has happened to us, you know, although some of them maybe, you know, even with me, I start, you know, going after football and things like that. You know, all of us may take sidetracks for whatever reason or another, but what Yah is doing with us is so important that he, you know, although we may take little side roles and things like that, he'll take that road and lead us back to where we're supposed to be. You know, there are times when I would decide to go down another road than what is normal. I just saw this, so I say it from this perspective. Hey, you been driving down the road, and then the traffic was really bad, and you never been down the road before, but you just decided to take that road because you was trying to get around that traffic by all means necessary, and it took you way out of the way. You was like, this didn't turn out the way that I thought it was going to turn out, but you kept working your way back. You know, you care what you thought, you know, sometimes, especially with Dallas, I mean, even in my neighborhood, if you, you know, our driveway is in the back. And so when the first time, you know, we moved in the neighborhood, when, you know, I was thinking, okay, when you drive, you know, in the alley, the, you know, the one end you drive out, the other end you drive out. And when you drive out, you're on the same, you know, you're in the same area. Well, in my neighborhood, when you drive out, it takes you around a few curves, and you come out on the street that's way, way different from where you started. So you start out on one street and you come out, you like three blocks over somewhere else. And the first time I did, I was confused. You know, I just moved to the neighborhood. I was confused. I was like, what street is this? I don't even know where I am now. And so, you know, so from that perspective, you know, y'all, there are times when we will make decisions and think those decisions are what's best at the time because we're trying to handle the situation. But when we go down that road, we realize, man, that's the wrong road. But what's vitally important to us is that because Yah has gifted us to be a part of this and what we're all doing, what we all have to do, what we're getting ready to do, Yah is saying, yep, you went on that road, but now I'm bringing you back to the road you're supposed to have been on. You know, and I was like, man, I just sit in traffic. You know, I end up going, you know, 10 miles out of the way all because I made this turn and thought that it would come out in a specific area or turn out a specific way, but it didn't turn out that way. But yet, Yah is faithful, you know, yet Yah is faithful and he always guides us back to where we're supposed to be. So I have a cliche that I would always say, you know, people be like, man, how do I know, you know, that God is leading me? I'd be like, don't worry about it, man. Just go in faith and believe God, even whichever direction you're going, just go in faith. And if it's the wrong direction, he know where you are. He can find you. And I just say it that way, just so that we can understand that he has his hand on us and he always guide us to where we need to be, even though we may make a bonehead decision sometimes. Like me, I turned and went down that road and it ended up taking me 10 miles out of the way when I just could have been a little bit patient and just stayed in the traffic for about 5 more minutes. You know, got past the wreck, but no, I'm trying to get there to hear it, and I'm doing more driving than I am getting somewhere. Well, that's what way we do sometime in life. You know, we just do a lot of driving and thinking we, you know, we on the path to get where we're going, and we just doing a lot of driving. And finally, we just have to humble ourselves and say, okay, let me just go back the way I came. Get back on the road, because at least I know where that is, you know. Now we got, you know, smartphones and all that. We can hit stuff and, you know, and do better. Well, Yah is our smartphone. Huh? Yeah, you're right, because sometime I was going off of 75 and it sent me through South Dallas. And then took me right back to 30. I was like, okay. That was like right down the street from me, you know. And so, but you know, I said from that perspective, Yah is our smartphone, and he always works. Okay, yeah, we get on his path, we do what he wants us to do. We always gonna end up being exactly where we're supposed to be, on time, before the time. You know, however you want to put it, we're always gonna be on time. And so, what I've realized, and he was just showing me some things before I came out, is that our leaders. Just talking about specifically us as a race of people, the nation of Israel, our leaders, you know, as the scripture points out, that our leaders has led us astray. And we'll just start there. We'll use that as a foundation to jump from. Jeremiah 23, I believe is where it is. Jeremiah 23 verse 1 says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith Yah. Therefore thus saith Yah, God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith Yah. And there's some things that I'll come back to verse 2 about the evil of the doings of the pastors, the leaders, okay? And when you look at it in the context of meaning, it was talking about our nation. Even when you look at some things when our nation was in the wilderness, Miriam and Aaron, you know, rebelled against Yah, you know, because they was angry with Moses because he married the Ethiopian woman and things like that. So you get members of our nation who say, okay, you know, we're not supposed to marry out of our tribes and different things like that. That has a perspective to it, but we have to stay with it within its contextual meaning, because Moses did marry an Ethiopian woman, okay? And they were upset with him about it. But the reason why he told us not to marry with other nations and things like that, because his main doing that at the time was he was saying, okay, because they will lead you astray and you will start to worship other gods. That's why you can read other scriptures where our nation conquered other nations and they took the women. Okay, so these things are, you know, we have to look at all these things within this contextual meaning to understand it. And so you get some people, because of their lack of understanding, they come across hateful or teaching hate because they don't look at all the scriptures and rightly divide them, okay? And so in Jeremiah 23, this is when our nation, the leaders were leading the people astray because in order for people to follow the righteousness of God, it has to be leaders that follow, okay? That's why Romans 10 says, how can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent, okay? And so there are things that's not going to be clearly understood unless we leaders now heart turn toward Yah and we submit fully to Yah. And y'all have heard me say this, but I said it to another, my mechanic, we're close. I said it to him and I said it to you guys several times. He just kind of looked and tears came in his eyes when I said it. I said, you know what? I said, I tell the church all the time that if Yah is not going to use me, if I'm not pleasing to him, just kill me right now. Kill me right now where I still got a chance for righteousness. Instead of now, I got, you know, 5 years, 10 years from now, my relationship is going to be lost with him. Just take me now. I'd rather benefit now eternally than to benefit, you know, for 10 years and then lose the rest of eternity. Just take me now. If I ain't going to line up, if I'm not going to do right, that's why I always go check. Yeah, am I going in the right direction? You know, because I'm not, the most disappointing thing I can hear is for you to say you're not pleased with me. And if you're not pleased with me, I have no reason to be here. I have no purpose. My purpose is to please you. And everything else after that just comes after that. And so once we get leaders whose heart, mind, turn completely to Yah, then you will see the people follow suit. And so when you look at verse 1, it says, woe be unto the pastor that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Well, the sheep are scattered because the pastor is not following Yah. The leaders of Israel were not following Yah. Well, you see the same thing in this day and time, where you have leaders now who have taken on a selfish mentality and all they want to do is take from the people. They're wolves in sheep clothing. All they want to do is benefit from the people and you know, pull from the people and all these things instead of being a shepherd to lead the people in the way of Yah, okay? And so verse 2 says, therefore thus said Yah, God of Israel, against the pastor. He's against this mindset, against the pastor that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing. Yah has, always will, judge leaders who lead the people astray. We know there are things that have happened to well-known preachers, past, present, and going to happen again in the future. That's why, you know, that's why we can't get to the point as leaders to think that we, you know, we too valuable to Yah to you know, that he won't move us out of the way. No, we don't follow him and be led by him and lead the people the right way, Yah will move us out of the way. He will move me out of the way if I don't follow him, okay? And so he says, I'm going to visit upon you the evil of your doing, said Yah. Verse 3, and I will gather the remnant. This is the word we're going to concentrate on because we our building is the remnant center. It is a symbol of what Yah is saying to us in this verse, okay? Matter of fact, the name was so important. We've already incorporated the name. We own the name. Nobody else can use it. And, you know, I'm getting ready to do some things as far as the 501c3 for the name. By the way, those camps out there think if you got a 501c3, you know, you're an agent. I mean, ignorant stuff, you know. So it's an order to certain things. And we have to make sure we give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. So there are certain structures that we have to operate within the boundaries of because we're still in captivity. When you look at it according to scripture, we're still in captivity as a nation, and we won't be out of captivity until Yah has gathered us back in our homeland. Other than that, we are still considered sojourning in a land that's not ours. Okay? Even though we own things, it's still a land and not ours. You can go look and see in captivities, Jeremiah, all these prophets, they were in other areas, but yet they had, our nation had land that they owned in captivity. When they was in Assyrian captivity, Babylon, you said they had houses and all these things, just like we do here in America and other parts of the world. But it still didn't take the fact away that we were in captivity. We're still in captivity as a nation, okay? Then he says, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I've driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, said Yah. Now, when you look at these leaders that we've had, they had good intentions, great respect for men like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, just to name, you know, just those two at this point. Great leaders in one facet or another, when you just look at some things that they had from a compassion for our people. Another guy, you know, I don't agree with everything that he said, but I have a lot of respect for is Farrakhan. I got a lot of respect for the guy. He said some stuff, and I love the boldness that he have and things like that. You know, he said some things that, you know, that lets you know that he is a leader. But what's vitally important for leaders is that we don't have our own agenda. Everyone that I've looked at from a perspective of leadership has their ideals of what it takes for our nation to come out of these things that we're going through. And that's not our responsibility as leaders to come up with ideals to help our people, but it's our responsibility as leaders to be led by Yah. Thus, it has an effect on the people. And I'm going to be bold and say this. I'm not going to be a martyr for my people because I'm just doing things from a perspective of what I feel like they need instead of what Yah is instructing me on what our people need. Okay? I ain't trying to die for us. I'm not trying to be a Malcolm X. I'm not trying to be a Martin Luther King. You know, Martin Luther King was, I think, was killed in Tennessee, I believe. Memphis. Yeah, he was killed in Memphis, but he went down to help out. I believe the guys who drove who had something to do with the trash. He went down there to speak on behalf of them, and it's not my responsibility to speak on behalf of every subject matter. My responsibility is to speak on behalf of Yah. Okay. So there are times when people try to pull me in the thing, I'll be like, I ain't doing that. Y'all not leading me to do that. Example that I always use when it comes down to, you know, when the situation happened with the little girl in McKinney, and people went down to McKinney, there was a protest and all that. You know, remember when the officer held the little girl down, you know, a lot of stuff going on because it was something to do with, the, I think, a pool or some swimming pool or something in McKinney. And so I had leaders who attempted to get me involved in that rally that took place that almost got out of hand. And Yah didn't lead me to do it. I was like, I'm not doing that. I've had people to try to get me involved in things as far as Black Lives Matter. Although I know everyone with any kind of sense should know Black Lives do matter. Everyone with any kind of sense should know all lives matter. Okay? But at the same time, I don't get involved in certain things because Yah don't lead me to get involved with those things. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't care about Black Lives Matter. It's just that I'm saying this is not the path that we should take. And we tired of marching? We tired of saying we should overcome someday? And we tired of saying no job. I did say ain't too. That's what I like to go Honey Grove. So, and we tired of saying no justice, no peace. This doesn't work. Riots doesn't work. Tearing up our communities doesn't work when something happens. All these things do not work. We have factual, statistical data and photos and all these things to show throughout history that is not working. But yet we're still wanting to do the same thing every time something happens. We got to do something different. We got to be led by Yah to do something different. And it's going to take Yah dealing with the leaders in order for the leaders to understand that something needs to be different, and for the people to see that the leaders are truly leading them and not in fear. I'm not afraid what man can do to me. I have fear of what the Yah of the Yah of all things can do to me. If he's for me, no man can be against me or stop me. Well, if he's against me, I don't care if the world is for me. I'm going to fail. So as long as I got Yah on my side, as long as we have Yah on our side, no one can stop us. And I do stress no one. Okay? And so these things are vitally important. We got to understand this. So I am saying to you, you are gifted to be in this position where you are. You have to understand your role. Like Elder pounded in my head, you got to get this. You got to get this. You got to accept this. You have to accept it. You know, I turned around and got him back. I said, yeah, now you got to accept yours. You know, y'all put you in a position right here with me. You got to accept yours and walk in it to the fullest degree. You know, so he and I have conversations that I don't share everything with y'all, and he'll tell you, I rebuke him just like I do anybody else. This is what I expect out of you, and this is what you hold me accountable for. This is what I hold you accountable for. Yeah, I'm your shepherd, but at the same time, I respect your ability to be led by Yah. Yah has you in this position for a reason. Okay? Same way you're accountable to me, I'm accountable to you. Same way each one of you are accountable to me, I'm accountable to you. Okay? Now, we take this responsibility. We're not trying to be no martyrs, but Yah has given us some wisdom on how to handle things. And so I'm going to show you some things that's going to be, it was kind of disturbing to me when I actually realized this. And I'm all, you know, and that's why I'm glad we have, you know, the technology that we do, because we can just pull stuff up and let you see it. So let me pull up internet here, and I'm gonna just type in this we're dealing with kingdom economics. How much money does African Americans spend Okay, now, Black Impact, consumer categories where African Americans move markets. You wanna know how powerful we are as a people? And the reason why we are kept divided? Look at what we spend. Black consumers, can y'all see this? Elder, can I make it bigger?
Those three dots in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three dots over here.
Zoom.
Zoom. Hit the plus.
Yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Okay. Uh-oh. Scroll down. Okay. Look. Black consumers are speaking directly to brands in unprecedented ways and achieving headline-making results. Throughout 2017, popular brands witnessed the power of Black Twitter and the brand impact of social-conscious Black consumers. through social media, black consumers have brokered a seat at the table and are demanding the brands and marketers speak to them in ways that resonate culturally and experimentally. If these brands want their business, and with the African American spending $1.2 trillion annually, brands have a lot to lose, and we have a lot to gain. $1.2 trillion, and we sitting here saying we shall overcome, and we begging. See, I'm kind of a little bit thrown off like Kanye. People think the man crazy, but he say stuff, if you listen to him, that makes some sense. $1.2 trillion and we still begging. Why? Why? Why are we still going around saying, y'all need to treat us right? $1.2 trillion. What would happen if $1.2 trillion turned and started to support its own self? What would happen if we said, you know what, we'll build our own community. We'll put $1.2 trillion in our own. It don't have to be like that bank. We'll put $1.2 trillion in our own bank. We don't need you to monitor what we do, because back in the day you didn't monitor what we did. See, people don't understand this about Martin Luther King, There are certain things that he did say within a contextual meaning, and we don't want to get away from that, but there are some things that he did say to point out that there are some things that he realized once he led us as a people into certain things and started getting right, is that it put us in a situation that made us vulnerable as a people as a whole. We start asking for things that really hurt us instead of helping us. Because before then, we depended upon our own nation of people for our survival. And so we didn't depend on other races. Like, other races don't depend on us. They depend on themselves. And what I mean by depend upon us is there are certain things that they do to benefit themselves. But then when you look at this article here, it is pointing out that, in a nutshell, we are basically funding other nations instead of ourselves. We're buying their brand. We're buying their products. There's another example that shows, I think, I may be able to pull it up here. Just kind of bear with me a little bit. Is it? I'll just turn it down a little bit. Starts that go. I think it's in this article here. Let me make sure. Okay, we'll keep reading on with this here now. Diving into the dollars spent, black consumers and consumers of color alike are making considerable contribution to the overall market. In some cases, representing more than 50% of the overall spending in key product category. For example, half of the total spend, $941 million on dry grains and vegetables in the U.S. In 2017 came from consumers of color. Stuff we used to plant, stuff our nation did. We stop doing it and depending on them to do it, and we go buy it. Lazy. Back in the day, mom planted gardens. My grandparents planted gardens and all that. We didn't know what it was like to go to the store to get tomatoes. You go to the store and get, man, what's wrong? It's tomatoes in the store. You see that? Okay. Grains and vegetables in the U.S. in 2017 came from consumers of color. And black consumers represented $147 million of total spend in this category. which has recently made advances in product creation to meet the demands of their diverse buyers. Oh, and we just figured out a new way to kill them. That's just interpretation for me, you know. Mainstream manufacturers across other industries are also, that's what I meant by is the genetically modified stuff. Okay? Oh, it's here, yeah. Mainstream manufacturers across other industries are also seizing the opportunity to create specific products that appeal to diverse customers. No, us. Shoot. Not surprisingly, African Americans have cornered the ethnic hair and beauty market. Ringing up 54 million of the 63 million total industry spent in 2017. All of us are blind, buying all the hair products. 54 of the 63 coming from us. Okay. But marketers should find it interesting that black consumers aren't just spending on products created specifically to appeal to them. In fact, in terms of sheer dollars, African Americans spent considerably more money in general beauty marketplace last year. Black shoppers spent $473 million in total hair care, a $402 billion industry. $4.2 billion industry, and made other significant investment in personal appearance products such as grooming aids, $127 million out of $889 million, and skin care preparation, $465 million out of $3 billion. African Americans make up 14% of the U.S. population, but have outsized influence over spending on essential items such as personal soap, bath needs, all these stuff our nation made ourselves. Now you understand how we had a Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. When we dealt with ourselves, we prospered. Now, is that saying, and I know other racist people hear this and say, well, man, that's just being racist. No, we just starting to care about ourselves like you care about yourself. And I'm just bold enough or crazy enough to say it, whichever way you want to look at it. You have something else?
I think the comment from my perspective is, if there's a difference between saying because of who we are, we're going to take you out versus we're just going to take care of ourselves. Those are two different things. Mm-hmm. So I think what has historically been racist is not that other people come together, but they come together to take somebody else out. We ain't coming together to take nobody else out. We just coming together for our own benefit.
In other words, just like Tulsa, we weren't bothering nobody. We were just living and prospering. People got jealous and got mad and came and matter of fact, according to certain statistical data, that was the first time that American citizens were bombed by their own people. The first act, basically terrorist act that happened to the citizens of the United States. They were bombing those people from Tulsa from the air. They had planes flying over bombing them. All because they had their own economy, basically. Yes?
This is a current event thing. With the midterm elections coming up and, you know, trying to get people to go out and vote, I'm just astounded and speechless with the way they're suppressing black and Hispanic and non-white voters. I mean, it's just blatant in your face because it's power in that. And they were saying, if it wasn't all of these blockades to keep blacks and Hispanics from voting, it could turn things around. But they don't want to turn things around. They're doing things on every angle. I mean, just bold in your face things to keep people from voting. People that got on the bus from a nursing home and the people at the city found out about it, called, told them, don't let them come.
Yep.
Get them off the bus. Even at Prairie View, it's 10,000 students there at Prairie View. and they moved the voting way to where they couldn't get to it, because Waller County, where that is predominantly what the school. If all those people voted, they could turn things around in a county that they don't want to turn things around. So they put all these obstacles there to keep them from doing it, because this kind of power can be translated in the voting process.
Our power is in economics. We just been programmed to believe that we don't have. We've been programmed to believe that we shall overcome someday. And so when Kanye make these kind of statements, it is because he have a certain insight that he, the way that he look at things. He be all over the place when he say some stuff, and he appears to be confused, and he's kind of hard to listen to at times. But then every time somebody's excited and they got a lot of information to share, that's how they sound if they're not used to communicating and getting that information out there. It's like taking a kid to Disneyland. Kid want to ride every ride right now. No, slow down. You got to do one ride at a time. Well, that's Kanye. He want to tell you everything all at once, so he's all over the place. But when you sit down and listen to what he's saying certain things, but then there are other things that he say that is because he have a lack of understanding. So when he said, there are no chains on our neck, well, you know, not visibly. But then at the same time, we can remove some things if we just look at these numbers here and operate accordingly. So a lot of people didn't hear certain things that he said. Even when he challenged Trump, he said, I would like to see. I'm just paraphrasing from what I heard he said, him say. He said, I would like to see you sit in a booth at a football game with Colin Kaepernick, am I saying it correctly, with a Make America Great Again hats on, both of you. Because he said both of you need to come together. But people don't hear that. There are certain things that he said, if you listen to, you be like, he got a point. But the easiest thing to do is to dismiss a person when you don't understand the insight that they have about certain things. He just don't know how to word certain things that he see. You know? All he's saying is, we got power that we're not using. What happened when Martin Luther King encouraged everybody to boycott the bus? Hit the economy, they started paying attention. What would happen if we just decide for a day we're not going to spend none of our money? Okay? Now, and again, I'll say this again. I don't care if a person call me, racist or prejudiced or whatever. You know, those who know me know the truth. But then at the same time, it's like what Elder said. You know, racism is when you take your mindset and use that to affect somebody else from a hurtful perspective. That's just my way of saying it. You know, loving my people is just saying, I'm encouraging you to look out and to do things for yourself and quit going around begging and asking everybody else to do something for you. If you can't get a loan from them, then let's create something and get a loan from ourselves. Just using that as an example, okay? Do you have something else?
Yeah, I got a comment about what my mama said.
Okay.
Just to give insight into history, to give understanding of why things are so fervent to keep us from voting, right? So it hadn't always been that case. When we first got freed, we had the right to vote, and we did vote. And we voted in black politicians. If you look historically, those things happened. We were affecting a change. Historically, we voted Republican. What happened over the course of time is, because we always voted Republican, the Democrats set out to start doing the things that you see in place. The leader of the Democrats at the time said that, in a nutshell, that he's gonna so ingrain this stuff in us that they'll be voting for us in the future, which ultimately ended up happening. But they started the changing all the things, stopping people from voting, the lynch mobs, all those things happened because we were voting, we were contributing, we were affecting a change for our community, and other people didn't like it. And so as a result, you see the things that you see happening today. So those people that know history know those things can happen. And if they don't want those things to happen like they have happened in the past, then they do the stuff that they do. But understand, we did it at one point. We all participated. We voted. We did all these things. We affected our community. We voted our own people in. Those things happen. And when it happened and it wasn't going the direction that they wanted, then they sought to kill us.
Thus, to add to that, and so, according to Jeremiah 23, what they did was went and hired leaders to lead us astray. They went and hired these puppets that's going to come across like they for us, but in reality, they're nothing but a part of the system that sit to keep us cooled down and not moving forward as a people. They call them poverty pimps. In other words, they come across as supporting us as a people, but in reality, they're doing the opposite and keeping us in poverty, but yet they're the one benefiting from it personally. That's what these leaders today are doing. You see them in churches, you see them in politics, you see them everywhere. They have good intentions starting out, but once they get in that office, they start seeing candy cookies and donuts, and they be like, man, I'm going to eat the candy cookies and donuts and forget my people.
So basically, in my understanding, even with the Democrats and the Republicans, it would be better off for us to be independent.
Well, see, here's my mindset. I always see, as a matter of fact, I had a politician that sits on the council member. I had a meeting with him, and he asked me, he said, do you vote? Because he knew that I hadn't voted during this last election when the council members was being elected. He said, well, do you vote? Because I know they check that stuff out when you meet with them. He said, do you vote? I said, yes, I do. But I also reserve the right not to until I get a better choice. See, what's wrong with us as a people that we think because the price was paid by our leaders and other members of our community in the past for us to vote, we think we just should do it, whether it's right or wrong. You ought to just vote for somebody. And if you don't vote for somebody, then the other person is worse off. See, you put Donald Trump in office because you didn't vote. Now, Donald Trump is in office because all of us are voting for the wrong people. We all came together as a nation, maybe do independent, said we want to put our own person in there, and but you know how the system works. But I'm saying, why even worry about that? We don't have to deal with this thing politically. We can just support our own selves. $1.3 trillion can support itself. I don't need a president to tell me what to do. If I got $1.3 trillion behind me, we can go and tell them what we want to do. That's the type of stuff that we have to understand. We got to get away from, as Kanye West said, and I don't care if people don't like, because, you know, the difference between Kanye and I don't really know him, I'm just saying the difference, not knowing that he's this way or not. The difference between Kanye and I is I don't care what people think about me. I don't have a reputation to uphold, because I know if y'all don't use me, I can climb back under the rock I came out of from under. So it don't bother me. I don't have an ego. I don't have a reputation of, oh, so it doesn't matter to me what a person think about me. What only matters to me is what Yah thinks about me. I'm good. So we got to listen. We got to listen to ourselves. We got to listen to what a brother sit down and start trying to say things. We may not agree with everything that he said, but we got to listen, because some things he said was the truth. But because it's Kanye, as soon as he's open his mouth, first thing folks want to do, we as a people, we are famous for being the crawdad. We call them crawdads back in the day. You know, crawfish. But I like to say crawdad. We were famous for back in the day of having a crawdad mentality, and we still have it to this day. When I was a kid, keep your thought, Mama Coke. When I was a kid, my friends and I caught this big barrel full of crawfish. And we put them all in that barrel, and we caught so many that they were stacked on top of each other. And it was probably, maybe... I guarantee you it's probably hundreds of them, if not close to 1,000. We caught them, put them in this big old barrel. They just stacked on top of each other. And we noticed, I was standing there, look, I was fascinated with it, and I watched it for maybe an hour. Every time a crawfish would get to the top of that barrel to get out, another one would grab his tail and pull him down and climb on top of him. See, bottom line, whether you agree with Kanye or not, he's still of you. And you need to try to understand him and come at him at a way where things he don't understand, we can sit down as a nation of people and make sure we have representatives that's going to speak on our behalf. And if we were together enough, he wouldn't have to go out and represent or misrepresent us at something. We had leaders. He wouldn't have to be trying to be one out of his lane. Go ahead, Mama. Go.
This is very interesting to me because the demographics of our country is changing. Whereas Caucasians were in the majority, they are no longer in the majority. They're a minority now. But they possess all the power. I won't say all, the vast amount of power. But if this thing changes, all of that can change. What you have up there?
The only power they have is economics.
Exactly. They're in the minority, but they control that.
The economics.
And if we could do like you're saying, that balance of power could change.
And it doesn't mean that we don't love. I love people. Period. You can't live for Yah and not love mankind. But at the same time, I'm saying it's time for us as a nation of people to stand up and support ourselves and quit looking for other people to do what we should be doing for ourselves. We spend, what was it, $473 million on hair by itself. I can take it Isaiah and Shaw where the scripture said because of the pride of our women, they would have scabs in their head. The reason why we have to buy all this hair is because we're in rebellion as a nation of people. The leaders are not leading right, so it falls all the way down the line. And you send it to the point where the scripture is even being fulfilled by saying our women would have scabs in their head, a lot of things, all this processed stuff they're putting on their head. Look at this now. You finished? Okay. African Americans make up 14% of the U.S. population, but have outsized influence over spending on essential items such as personal soap and bath need, 573 million. Feminine hygiene products, 54 million. And men's toiletries, 61 million. Nielsen's research also shows black consumers spend $810 million on bottled water. That's what it is. So in a nutshell, what Kanye was really saying to us is the chains are on your around our neck economically. That's why people start telling him, say, well, why don't you go do stuff with your money? He was like, I can't do stuff with my money just by itself. That man ain't crazy. That man just what you call so deep that all this carnal stuff, people don't get him. And again, I don't agree with everything that he said, but I got enough sense to sit there and listen to everything he said to distinguish between what is right and wrong that he's saying. People hear him and they automatically throw up a red flag. I ain't finna listen to it. He a nut. He crazy. Well, who told you that? I love it when people call me crazy. I interpret that as saying, all you're saying is I don't see it how you see it. And anything that don't see how you see it, you want to identify something wrong with it. Why can you and I just have a mindset to disagree on something? And we both can still be intelligent. Why do one of us have to be crazy? You have a point of view about some things. I have a point of view about some things. Why do one of us have to be crazy? You know, Brent sent me a photo of a little girl who had white parents that had adopted her, and they took a picture of her in a cotton field. And you know, when it come down to cotton, you know, we kind of a little bit sensitive in that area, but yet we put it on every day. Ain't that amazing? We sensitive to it, but yet we go spend the money on it. Okay? Now, so Brent sent me this. He said, what do you think about this? Well, when I did, I said, man, that's kind of strange, man. I don't quite, you know, quite know how to take it because, again, you know what that cotton means to us. Okay? But here's what Brent said. And I said, bro, man, that's a good way to look at it. I didn't look at it that way. Brent said, I put it on my Facebook page. He said, black people got mad. He said, but I put it on my Facebook page because I saw a beautiful black girl dominating white cotton. All that white cotton was behind her, and you could see that beautiful black girl in all white cotton. He said, I saw the beauty of it. And I saw her white parents, who had adopted, standing with her in that photo and taking a picture of her. Ain't no different. Somebody sitting out there on the side of the freeway in them doggone blue bonnets. Well, ain't that what they call? Ain't that what they call? What's the difference? It's a mentality. That's the difference. And so on one hand, you have somebody like Brent who said, I see beauty in it. I see a little black, beautiful girl dominating all that white cotton. All that white cotton, you can still see her perfectly. But other folks say, man, I'll be ashamed. It's a prejudice. Put that girl in that cotton. No, she ain't got to be in that cotton. Two perspectives that has some validity to it. But why should Brent be crazy because he see beauty in it? And everybody else who see it as something that's being prejudiced, one got all the sense. See, we are a society of people that want to play everybody crazy who don't like what we like. And I'm just crazy enough to not like what people like. So I love being crazy. That's why I went on to say, you know, doing irrational things really turn out to be rational a lot of time. You know, following everybody may be the wrong way. Have you ever seen, you know, these videos, man, you see somebody walking down the sidewalk and they have, this is staged. They have about 200 people who just come around the corner running and run past that person. This one person, he looking around because he going the opposite direction. He turn around and start running with the group and don't even know why they running. Because people are programmed to follow crowds. I've been unhooked from the program. I've been unhooked from the matrix. I follow Yah. So everybody can be running the other way. If Yah going this way, I'm following Yah. African Americans make up 14% of the U.S. population, but have oversized influence over spreading on essential items such as personal soap, bath needs, 573 million. Feminine hygiene products, 54 million. Men's toiletries, 61 million. Nielsen's research also showed black consumers spend $810 million on bottled water, 15% of overall spending, and $587 million on refrigerated drinks, 17% of overall spending. Luxury, non-essential products such as women's fragrance, $151 million of a $679 million industry total. Watches and timepieces, $60 million of $385 million in overall spending, and even children's cologne, $4 million out of $27 million. I also play, you know, you bought a baby a little Nike that they're going to be out of next week? Spend $50 for the little Nike, they're going to be out of them next week. You're going to hang them up on your mirror in your car. And even children's cologne, $4 million out of $27 million, also play well to an audience that keen on image and self-care. Image and self-care, how do I look? Our research shows that black consumers' consumer choices have a cool factor that has created a halo effect. Influences not just consumers of color, but the mainstream as well, said Cheryl Grace, senior vice president of the U.S. Strategic Community Alliance and Consumer Engagement, Nielsen. These figures show that investment by multinational conglomerates in R&D to develop products and marketing that appeal to diverse consumers is indeed paying off handsomely. They saying, make us rich. You wear the hair, we'll drive the yacht.
Have you seen an article similar to this that speaks to the black consumers in business and homeownership?
I haven't looked. I just pulled this up just to say, what are they doing annually? And so when you look at it, that's a good point. This just talking about products and things like this. Homes, cars, all these other things that we do. It's amazing how we put up with certain things, but I'm going to say this. When Nike put I always mess up his name. Colin Kaepernick. I call him Colin the last time, didn't I? when Nike made him the symbol, they knew what they were doing. Can I be blunt? They said, white folks don't buy tennis. I did say tennis. They don't buy shoes. They buy Skeeters or whatever. You know I jack up stuff, y'all. They buy Skechers New Balance and stuff like that. They buy that kind of stuff. Why do you think Nike's always baggy, the warm-ups and stuff? Because they cater, we like baggy clothes. So Nike didn't do that because they're saying, we support black people. They said, no, you support us. So we gonna do this. That's more money for us. We understand the consumer numbers. Huh?
Their stock did go
up. Yes, it did. They knew what they were doing. So you get some genius say, man, we don't care about y'all, we care about your money. Yeah, Brent. Go ahead, Brent.
How many people got to look at it too, that before they put them on that ad and all that, they put that truck out in Chicago in that black neighborhood and we're getting all those kids.
So. Yeah, they did. They set, what he's talking about is they set up a truck. Yeah, they set up a truck in a Chicago neighborhood and just put it up there and left a trailer in the neighborhood full of tennis shoes and stuff like that. And when the kids was going in there stealing the stuff, it was a sting. They was catching them, putting them in jail. And so you had people who rose up in the community and said, okay, why would you do this in a neighborhood that's poverty? You got kids walking around here with regular shoes on and you gonna put a trailer full of shoes in there and leave it unattended. You're sitting us up. That's just like me being hungry and you gonna sit out of some burgers and fries and walk off. Man, your burger and fries finna get ate up. Not because I'm a thief, because I'm hungry. So I don't go in the trailer and steal the shoes because I'm a thief necessarily. I go in the trailer and steal the shoes because I got a hole in mine and I'm tired of water getting in them when it rains. Kind of stuff we have to understand, okay? So when you look at what Nike did, Nike was not caring about our cause as a people, what we are saying. Nike said, let's make money. That's what that was about. And so it's vitally important for us to understand these things. And Tonya's calling me, so somebody call her. And so it's vitally important for these things to be understood. You know, we have to see what's really going on. So again, as Janice mentioned, Nike stock has gone up. So they was like, woo! What was the, man, it's like I'm going blank for some reason. Why do you think they make Black Panther movie? They know who the consumer is. So they starting to cater to the consumer even in the movie industry. You know, we coming up in there, you know, coming out dancing with the African music and all that stuff, and they saying, cha-ching, come on, come in here with your African stuff on, wear your Black Panther strap robe and you know, your bandana on your head, wear all that stuff, come over here, but buy this popcorn, pay that money, and do what you got to do.
They making the bandanas and all that stuff, too.
There you go.
We gonna sell you the Black Panther gear and all that.
There you go. Oh, wait, what, Halloween coming up? Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, you going to see how many Zimbubu foofs and stuff you going to see. You going to see. You know, for what is a Wakanda? You going to see all kinds of Wakanda stuff. They know, man. And it's time for us to wake up. So you can call, I'm going to keep mentioning his name, and I hope I make you black folks mad. Keep calling Kanye crazy. He crazy like a fox. Just kind of all over the place at times, but you need to listen to what he really trying to tell you. You know, and I hate saying this about our women, but man, we spend more time combing somebody else's hair that come from India than we do our own. probably just as tight underneath that stuff, man. And, but that doggone stuff on top, boy, is laid, pressed and everything. Press your own hair, man. It'll grow. You know, you even got us as a race of men. We drawing beards on our face. Just grow one like hell to grow ears. Why we gotta draw it on? Man, I'm telling you, man, we do some crazy stuff. We do crazy stuff, man. I be looking at some dude, I be like, man, you drew your beard, dude. You drew your hairline and all that. These people are doing this kind of stuff. And they're paying on it. They're paying for it. Man, you drew a beard, man. I saw this one dude, he had no hair on his face. None. Had a full beard. He drew it. Whatever that black stuff that y'all use for eyeliner stuff. He drew him a full beard. With it, and I was looking, I said, man, that beard is tight. I got up on him, I said, he drew this, dude. You know you drew this. You have no hair. He had no hair on his face. None. Drew his beard. Yes, I'm good.
This is where I'm going to make my big money. I'm going to make t-shirts. On the front of it, there's going to be two words. People crazy. Everybody sign up and buy one.
I'm telling you. Y'all, this is where the power is. That's why y'all has us dealing with kingdom economics. Now, we know that the economy is going to crash eventually. We know that. And it may be the cause of it. Cause
I mean, I'm just going to say, it doesn't have to be ours. Like what I think we've talked about before, whereas, you know, when the stock market crashed, you were saying our people was like, we didn't know the difference. It was like our economy wasn't affected by that.
Okay, you're correct. You're correct. Mama told me, said, we didn't know. Say, people talking about Great Depression, we were like, what is that? We didn't know what no Great Depression was. So we didn't miss no meals. Everything was still going on. We had everything we had before it happened. So we didn't know about no Great Depression. So my family didn't know what a Great Depression was. And from what I'm understanding, talking to other people during this time of our nation, they didn't understand what it was either, because they were already living off the land and doing things among themselves. So the economy didn't have an effect on them. It's going to be a Great Depression when it all, you know, come down and people can't go buy no hair. Lord, I can't go buy me no nails. I can't go buy no, Lord, I can't do it. That's going to be a big depression. It's going to be depressing to a lot of people to see real hair. This is where we are, y'all. And so these things, we got to validly understand that it's going to take leadership to come together and to teach our people these things and to show them these numbers and say, look at what we're doing to ourselves. We have no excuse. Okay? It's like everybody know it but us. Everybody know we're wealthy but us as a nation of people. Okay? Individually, we can't do a whole lot. But if we come together as a nation, the sky's the limit. Okay? Now, saying this as I get ready to close. We know not all of our nation is going to take hold of this. Only the remnant. It don't take. See, we as a people, we have learned how to live on little. What I mean by little in comparison to what someone else would say is you know, much. You know, we can take $2.50 and stretch a long way where somebody else may say, I need 10. We'll make $2.50 look like $100. Just use that as an example. We're just used to operating that way. Now, so from that perspective, we don't need no $1.7 trillion. Because not all of us are going to line up with what I'm saying. We don't need $1.7 trillion. We just need a remnant of Israel to understand that Yah is bringing together leaders to lead the people, that is the remnant that will turn their eyes to him and watch him bless us as the remnant. Because some of Israel is going to stay blinded. so-called African-Americans or so-called blacks that's scattered all over the world. There, some of us are going to stay blinded, but some of us are going to be classified as a remnant, and Yah is saying, I'm going to deal with you, and if you operate the way that I'm leading you and the way that I have my leaders leading you, you will prosper. And when anyone come against you, I will rebuke them because I am the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But as long as we be in the crawfish mentality and hurting our own people when they try to stand up for us, even though they don't say everything right, we ain't going to ever amount to nothing. It amazed me how many of our folks put down Kanye West. That's our problem. We looking to crawfish one another while everybody else is looking to lift each other up or their own people. Time out for it. All right? And I approve this message, and I'm finished. All right. Anybody, any other questions, comments from anybody? We good? Okay. Father Yah, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for bringing us into this facet of understanding. We just ask you just to continue to lead and guide us in all truth. We indeed love all mankind, but we are learning to love ourselves as you intended for us to do as a nation of people. And we bless you for that. We bless you for coming into that understanding and having the character and the boldness enough to stand up for who we are. And we just thank you for that. But we do it in wisdom. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.